She was so sweet, I could eat a zombie takeout like jelly. Welcome to episode 245 of Zombie Takeout, the B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got a little bit of listener submitted. This is from John Phillips from our Facebook page in reference to last week's episode, our review of Star Trek II Wrath of Khan. He said, "The test is in Star Trek 2009, not Into Darkness. I had the same reaction Scotto had rewatching Khan that I had watching Star Trek from 2009 in the theaters. Also, Tron was the same year," and he is correct about that. I looked it up. Tron was also 82. Thank you for the correction, John. And so, also, yeah, the test where he's eating the apple was in the first Abrams Star Trek movie, apparently. It's been too long since I've seen either of them.
No, it was in the second, Into Darkness.
Not according to John. He said it was in 2009, not Into Darkness.
Yeah, you know what? He's right.
I didn't verify, because you know, I didn't want to sit through two Star Trek movies to check, but I'll trust John on this one.
That's right, because I think that's where they introduce, they practically introduce Kirk, and Kirk then meets Spock. Yeah, that makes more sense. So it's not Into Darkness, it's, what the hell
just
was the
Star
first?
Trek.
Was that what they called the first
one? That's
why
I said 2009, because John has it in parentheses after Star Trek both times, because that's really the easiest way to refer to it is Star Trek 2009, or J.J. Abrams Star Trek.
Star Trek Fringe.
Yeah. All right, on to some news. This is from TheWrap.com. Dwayne The Rock Johnson to star in Big Trouble in Little China remake.
I had heard this.
Yeah. We were talking before the show about it. I said we were going to be covering the obvious news story, and Scott didn't know what it was. But apparently you have heard it.
Yeah.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is in negotiations to star in and produce a remake of John Carpenter's cult classic Big Trouble in Little China that will be written by X-Men First Class scribes Ashley Miller and Zach Stentz. Multiple individuals familiar with the project have told The Wrap.
You know, it's tough following CinemaBlend on Facebook because 90% of the shit they post is just so... Ugh.
I unfollowed them for that reason. We discussed this in the past, and I just gave up finally. I have a few other sources for news for this show.
Like, tonight they posted something about the NFL being on Yahoo. Like, what's that even have to do
with
cinema?
Movies. Yeah.
Even just, you know, regular scripted television. Right. You know, they're not covering reality shows. But there was one post they had made with something... Was there anything that Dwayne The Rock Johnson doesn't make better, you know? And, of course, the comments on it were hilarious because the obvious, of course, was, well, movies for one thing.
Although, and get the hate mail ready. I'm going to draw a lot of it right now. I think it's good casting. I think he fits Jack Burton very well.
I could see it, yeah.
Look at The Rock, his wrestling character. Enormous ego. Referred to himself in the third person, like to solve problems with his fists. That's Jack Burton.
I guess I could see it.
And I loved X-Men First Class, so, you know, I'm happy with the writing, or with the writers.
I think I'm just resigned to our fate of every fucking movie being remade.
Yeah. The proliferation of remakes is an issue here. But if they're going to do it, I think they've got the right team. My issue is that I don't think Big Trouble works 30 years later.
Yeah.
At least not with an extensive rewrite that will completely defang it.
Yeah.
Because it was made in the days before political correctness.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very, very politically incorrect. So they're either going to have to neuter it or draw a lot of protests. And I suspect they will go for option A.
Most likely, yeah.
So, you know, despite the fact that I would love to see... Honestly, love to see The Rock play a proper Jack Burton, because I think he would knock it out of the park. And the writers look great. I don't have much faith in it.
Of course not. Why? Just too many remakes.
Well, that and that, yeah, there is that problem. I would like to see something original. All right, so on to this week's movie, which is from 1985, Legend, and of course the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Unicorns.
And also brought to you by jokes that write themselves. So, we have a magical fairyland populated by Tom Cruise.
I've been looking forward to this plot summary, by the way.
Who sparkles?
But he's not a vampire before we get into that tangent.
No. He's 100% straight too in this movie.
Does spend a lot of time with unicorns, though.
Well, doesn't everybody? Well, anyway, he has a girlfriend. He has stolen her from Ferris Bueller. I don't know if he's like gonna, you know. Anyway, he goes to impress her. She's a princess, of course, because this is a fairy tale.
Was she a fairy? Because there was a line about, damn fairies or something like that after she had pulled a prank.
That was one of my titles, Flippin' Fairies.
Yeah, that was the one, yes.
You know what? They're vague about who is human and who is fairy, and so actually, this is before Ferris Bueller's. So Ferris Bueller stole her
I'm curious.
from Tom Cruise,
Well,
huh?
I don't know if he necessarily would have to have stolen her, but yeah. Okay, enough with the Tom Cruise gay jokes. Because we'll just go on endlessly if we don't stop. Continue.
Anyway, they're vague about who is human and who is fairy. I'm guessing that they were both human,
Reasonable assumption.
even though there was a lot of sparkle.
They don't do anything that is necessarily supernatural.
Right, exactly. Like, I thought she was a fairy at first when, the woman yelled, "Flippin' fairies," and but then they go in. She goes into her cottage, and they're just hanging out and talking to give exposition.
And there's a fairy later in the movie, an actual fairy.
Oh, that's right. So yeah, they are definitely human. They're definitely both human. He's they're from. Stop me if you hear this. She's royalty. He's from the other side of the
Well,
tracks.
sort of. He's just kind of a forest dweller.
Okay, the other side of the woodland path.
He's a lowly forest dweller. She's royalty.
And he's in the gang called the Greaser. No, wait a minute. So he goes to impress her. And that is not the key sin of the movie, of course.
No.
The key sin of the movie was when he goes to impress her to show her these show off these unicorns to her, she actually wanted to get a closer look at them. That was the sin of the movie that gets everything in motion.
He let her touch his unicorn.
He let her touch his unicorn. And for that, they lost their horn. These do just write themselves,
Yeah, they
don't
do.
they? Holy fuck. All right. Anyway, because the unicorn lost his horn, there was now they were plunged into winter and darkness. Some crazy shit happens that separates the two of them. I'm not really entirely sure. He jumps into this water and everything's frozen on top of it all of a sudden, and
And she gets abducted.
she yeah oh that's right, she gets abducted. And the whole thing is there's this demon who wanted the horn for himself, despite having two very large horns on his head already. But he wanted another horn because you can never have too many horns. Because if both, these are the last two unicorns, if they lose both of their horns, it will be plunged into darkness forever. But because they only one has lost their horn, it is now half darkness, half night, so it's pretty much back to our schedule of sundown and sun up. So he kidnaps her, of course. She plays the damsel in distress. He has to come to her rescue. He comes up with a Wile E. Coyote-esque method of defeating the demon.
And she opens a box that she's not supposed to and ends up in this dress that is far too revealing for her at the time because she was 16.
Was she only 16?
Yes.
Jesus.
Wanted to make sure I dropped that, given
Holy.
particularly the dress she was wearing after that scene.
Holy fuck. But anyway, I mean, it wasn't like it was revealing but not revealing at the same time. It was very strange. But yes, hilarity ensues. So we saw different versions of this.
Yeah,
Both of
apparently.
us.
There are two versions. The only difference is the soundtrack. One is done by Jerry Goldsmith, who did a ton of movies. He did Star Trek. He did The Twilight Zone, if I recall correctly. He's a very, revered Hollywood composer.
Which is the version I saw. So I've seen two movies in a row scored by Jerry Goldsmith.
The version I saw was scored by Tangerine Dream, who was a 70s, early 80s kind of sort of prog music or elevator music kind of group.
Which is very weird because I mean the big song on the soundtrack, the American version, was a Bryan Ferry song.
Which was in the version I watched.
And I was kind of waiting for it, and it was kind of like, why? That's weird. Why? I mean, I remember the video for it more than I remember this movie.
Did you get the closing song by John Anderson?
No.
You were spared. I like Yes, but his voice has always grated on me.
It's taken me a long time, but I've finally gotten over his voice, and I'm full into Yes now.
Now, the thing about the Tangerine Dream version, it really didn't fit the movie. It's, this obvious synthesizer in this medieval fantasy movie. It just doesn't work. I'm assuming that the classical score in the Goldsmith version worked a bit better.
Yeah, except for Mia Sara's singing, which I'm assuming they had in yours too.
If they did, I blocked it out. What was the scene?
She sings to him in the beginning and then at the end too.
Okay, maybe I just repressed it. I don't specifically, I can't say one way or the other whether or not it happened, so let's assume it didn't. I just repressed it. Now, one credit I have to give this movie, aside from the obvious casting, well, particular cast member that we'll talk about later, the effects makeup is brilliant.
For the most part,
For 85.
I thought the witch or crone or whatever that was in the beginning, towards the earlier on,
She's a little animatronic.
was a bit too, yeah, Disney Hall of Presidents with the witch kind of thing.
But the darkness makeup was great. Blix looked awesome. Incidentally, Blix's makeup, the goblin, was based on Keith Richards.
What?
Yeah. Alice Platon, who played Blix, came up with the idea of designing it to look like Keith Richards. And Ridley Scott, the director, agreed and had this makeup effects artist, sculpt it to look like. I mean, it's not a dead ringer, but it's based on, yeah, Keith Richards.
Huh, and this is like early on where he wasn't like ancient.
Well, still fairly old in 85. This was like Steel Wills era, right?
I think it was before that.
Okay.
Oh yeah, you're right. Steel Wheels probably. Yeah, but what I was confused with the soundtrack was why would the European version not have Bryan Ferry
And
and
Tangerine Dream.
Tangerine Dream, which
Yeah.
I imagine
Probably much bigger in Europe.
were much bigger in Europe than the US. I
I
mean,
think if I recall, I don't have it in my notes, but if I recall correctly, he wanted to attract a younger audience with, by putting in Tangerine Dream.
he's high.
Apparently
Why would
he
that
thought that
attract a
would
young
attract a younger
audience?
audience as opposed to the Goldsmith, because he started off with Goldsmith.
Yeah. I mean, he could have gotten like Kenny Loggins or somebody for a younger audience at the time.
Who would have fit this pretty well, actually, given some of his, acoustic stuff. Now, again, on the positive side, going back to the makeup, I think this was a huge influence on Pan's Labyrinth. Some of
You're probably right.
the creature designs and whatnot reminded me a lot of Pan's Labyrinth.
This was also a huge influence on the South Park guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
Satan from South Park
Satan
is
in the cut,
darkness.
yeah,
Yeah.
is definitely darkness, the voice and
Oh,
everything.
yeah.
And of course, what is it, Orgasmo? Not to sound like a queer, nothing but unicorns are awesome.
Well, that's the running gag. I mean, maybe it started with this. Actually, I'm wondering if this is if this movie was the start of all the whole, Tom Cruise's gay rumors.
Oh, it could very well have been. I
Yeah.
mean, holy crap. I mean, one of my titles, of course, Maverick wears short shorts. That outfit they had in it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
The
Especially when
sparkling.
he puts on the armor. Because, I mean,
Right.
even he's just running around the forest, whatever. But.
Yeah, it's one thing to have just like this, the regular, vest and whatnot. But yeah, when he puts on the sparkling gold armor that only comes just barely down to his ass, it was like, whoa, what have we got going on here?
There's been an ongoing debate about, the armor on female characters in video games being too, impractical and skimpy.
Right.
This movie is a perfect illustration of that
That
whole argument.
is. That is the way to put the shoe on the other foot. I
Yeah.
mean, okay, how would this protect you? You just aim downward.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't have to go far.
His legs are right there.
Yeah.
You could just hit them and then get the rest of them.
And speaking of Cruise, when he showed up, did the editing get really odd?
Yeah, I
They made
think
a lot of weird quick cuts. I suspect
they
maybe they
did.
were covering bad performance.
I don't know. I didn't think his performance was all that horrendous in this,
Really?
I mean,
Oh, I almost tapped out because of his performance.
I almost tapped out, but not because of his performance.
It was, I mean, and we've talked about this. I think we've talked about this on air. Neither of us are Tom Cruise fans.
I mean, I thought it was just, it was there,
You thought it was a typical Tom Cruise performance. It was weird and creepy to me. And
I
maybe he was
think
going for creepy, but the character doesn't strike me as someone who should be creepy.
given the material, I would say it for, I mean, considering there's a lot of Tom Cruise performances I don't like, I would have to say this would probably be above average for him.
Wow, this is like below average for me. I mean, average is almost every Tom Cruise performance because he's always the same guy. It's kind of monotone. So there's a big average, and then there's I'll put Interview with a Vampire above that. I thought you liked him in that.
I'm trying to think of what his best would be. Born on the 4th of July, perhaps?
Okay, yeah, I haven't seen that in ages. I had forgotten about that one.
I
Yeah,
mean,
that's another good one.
because it was different,
Yeah,
because it
exactly.
wasn't the same dude.
Right.
I mean, but Maverick and the dude from A Few Good
And
Men,
everything else.
I mean,
War of the Worlds. All the right. Yeah, it's all the
All
same
the
guy.
Mission Impossible movies, it is all that is all the same guy. You could pretty much say he's playing just this it's this epic character, the story of one dude, if you could link the movie somehow.
And this also, the movie in general, not, stepping away from Cruise for a minute, raises an interesting question. How the hell has Ridley Scott made two great movies and in all of this crap? Because this is not his only bad movie.
I Maybe the blame really goes to the writer on this.
Possibly, yeah. The writers are definitely to blame. But if you look at Ridley Scott's, filmography, you have Alien, amazing.
Yeah.
Blade Runner, which I'll admit it's, I don't care for Blade Runner, but I'll admit it's very well made. A lot of people love
Yeah.
it, so I'll say that's a, it's up there. And then a lot of crap. So he's made two great movies, and then, I mean, maybe there's some great ones that I haven't seen. Send your recommendations. But you've got this. You've got, of course, Prometheus. A lot of people have complained about. And some other crap movies. Did he do Highlander?
I don't believe so.
Okay, there's another one. There was another one that he's done. I think
That was
we've.
Russell Mulcahy that did
Yes, you're right.
Highlanders.
You're right. Actually, that's for the reason I think I'm making that mistake is because this does feel like a Russell Mulcahy movie.
Does, but it's not as insane
Well,
as
true. True.
a Russell Mulcahy movie.
Yeah.
This was pretty much just watching a live action Disney movie for me.
Yeah, I mean, it got a little trippy here and there. It got a little, went a little
Disney
further
movies get
than.
a little trippy.
Yeah, true. Now I'm gonna nitpick something, and I have a Well, you know this. We were talking about this just before the show, and I've told you before. I have to confess something to the audience. In reference actually to our title this week, I am a bit of a brony, and that actually allowed me to catch a mistake in the script that I also researched just to be sure. Now, this first unicorn is basically kidnapped. It's shot with a dart, and its horn is removed, and yada yada.
Yeah.
And the big part of the plot is retrieving the unicorn. And one of the good guys, says, "We must get the alicorn back."
The what?
The alicorn. And I
The
listened to that line 3 times just to make sure I
alicorn.
heard the word correctly. He said alicorn. An alicorn is a cross between a Pegasus and a unicorn. It's a unicorn with wings.
All right.
There are no alicorns in this movie. Not, at least
You're
not that I
right.
noticed. I did not see wings.
You now have wings. And if so, they would have flown away. They're pretty stupid animals, considering they knew there was danger and they just kind of stayed there
Yeah,
and
I mean,
wait to be picked off.
yeah, they're generally portrayed to be kind of smart.
Yeah. Not like, oh, there's a hunter there.
Yeah.
Think I'll just stay here and well, this princess is so beautiful singing to me, of course.
Yeah, this
I don't know why
princess
I
is
gave them
about to.
Boston accents or Maine
Yeah.
accents. I unicorn.
This princess is about to touch me, and that's going to cause all kinds of shit. Maybe I should walk away.
Oh, they were horny.
He let her touch his unicorn.
Yep.
Now, I mentioned the good guys, Cruz's, and because I'm saying Cruz because I can't remember the character's name. His entourage, which I think were a big part of the problem with the movie.
Well, you could start with vocal distortions.
Well, yeah, there's way too much use of vocal distortion. There's like 5 characters who use vocal distortion in this movie.
And several of them are using the same one.
And I think a few of them are played by the same actress.
Like the elf and the goblin, the Keith Richards goblin, they both have the same vocal distortion.
And Alex Platen, who I know played Blix, the goblin, I think played a number of different characters.
In fact, I thought the elf might was tricking Tom Cruise. At first, because I just thought it was the goblin in disguise, because it was the same fucking
The
voice.
elf, you mean the kid?
Yes.
Okay, the forest child or whatever. Yeah.
Well, he had pointy ears, didn't he?
Elf works.
It was their version of an elf in
Yeah.
this.
Incidentally, Blix the goblin reminded me a lot of Gollum.
Like, if you want a D&D nitpick, an elf is not going to be hanging out with a dwarf.
Well, that's true. There were a few dwarfs too. And again, getting back to my major issue, they were way too cutesy.
Of course, they just kind of threw a collection in. He's a dwarf, he's an elf, he's a gnome.
They were this annoying, unnecessary comic relief that
There's a
just
halfling.
made it too cute to be really dramatic, but at the same time, it wasn't campy enough to be funny.
Exactly. In fact, it's kind of bizarre that he would use Tangerine Dream when he's got pretty much a Disney movie on his hands here. He's got a kid's movie here.
Effectively, yeah.
Yeah, except he dressed it up to make it look like a grown-up movie, fantasy movie.
And interestingly, you mentioned it's basically a kid's movie, and it's really about an innocent learning violence.
Yes.
Cruz's character is this innocent forest dweller who never, heard anything in his life, and
Right,
he's, putting on armor and learning to use a sword.
and right, Mia Sara is also innocent as well. So there are these two, this Adam and Eve, and yeah, they're introduced. They don't even really know what the hell they're doing, but yet they're treated with such scorn for doing it. It was just a little confusing
Now, just a little bit of trivia. Apparently, we have a group of stoners to thank for an act of mercy. Ridley Scott admits that comments made by some pot-smoking attendees at a screening got the director second-guessing himself and influenced him to cut the film from 150 minutes down to 98.
I'm trying to think of how long my version was.
Actually, mine was at like 90, just shy of 90. It was 1 hour 29, if I recall.
Oh wow. Mine, I believe, was a little long. Mine was, I think, was just shy of 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
Mine was like 113, I think.
Still, a lot less than 150.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine putting another half hour on this movie.
Is he sure they were stoners and not film execs that were like, no one is going to fucking sit through 2.5 hours of this? But yeah, there were points where I was really close to tapping. I was like, I've got a whole fucking hour left of this, man.
Also, Scott was close to hiring Richard O'Brien to play Meg Mucklebones.
Oh my God, that would have been so awesome.
Okay. That, in fact, that's what got him to cast Curry as Darkness, because he watched Rocky to see Richard O'Brien and happened to see Curry.
Why do you cast Tim Curry in this role and then put all that vocal distortion on him?
I don't know that he had a lot of vocal distortion.
Yes, he
It,
did.
he didn't do the harmonizer thing like the other characters did.
Well, right, but he had a lot of bass added to his voice.
I'm wondering if maybe that was just his voice. Maybe he actually can do that.
No, it was very clearly harmonized, or there was a,
Pitch
it
shifted.
was clearly a vocal distortion on it.
Possibly, yeah.
So much so that his real voice was kind of lost in it, and the performance was lost in
And of course, we have been overlooking the demonic transvestite in the room. Tim Curry plays Darkness.
Yeah. But he's just buried. He's absolutely buried in
He's
this.
underused. We see him a
Well,
bit in the
right.
beginning. He shows up very briefly in the middle, and then he's got a nice big scene at the end.
And the big scene at the end makes no sense whatsoever, because he only interacted with Mia Sara in this. He never really interacted with Tom Cruise. They
Except
have
for
a
the fight
fight,
scene at the end.
right? They have a fight, and then he gets into this whole philosophical, you need me thing, I'm a part of you thing. And I was just expecting Tom Cruise to go, I don't even know who the fuck you are. Just get the fuck out of here. Like, I just met you, dude. What do you mean you're a part of me? You're who are you?
Would have been an easy 5 brains if you did that.
I don't know about that. That would've, it would've definitely improved it.
And another issue with the movie, speaking of improving it, they just try to cram too many fairy tales in.
Yeah.
Because it's a nice, simple, hero's journey story, but then they'd reference Pandora's box or something, when she, has the costume change, and then there's this, fairy who tries to hit on Tom Cruise, and there's just way too many distractions from this, simple hero's journey.
Right. I think the whole problem with this movie was they had some wonderful visual
Oh, yeah.
effects,
Visually, it's a great film.
and yeah, yes, definitely. But they had nothing to go with it, nothing to string it together, those visual effects to actually make into a story, a cohesive story that makes any sense whatsoever or entertains.
In fact, if there was a way to turn off the dialogue but keep the music in either version, I think it would be worth watching. Either with Jerry Goldsmith music or even the Tangerine Dream, if you could just turn off all of the dialogue but keep the music, it could be fun. Incidentally, when they were, running around the dungeon or Darkness's castle or whatever it was toward the end, during the rescue attempt, was it just me or did it look a lot like Thunderdome?
Well, yeah, those big columns all together and shit. Like, I think that was used in the video, in the Brian Ferry video, actually, if I
Okay.
remember right. Like, I remember him singing, like leaning up against one of those, big ass columns, and kind of, they
Yeah.
lit it differently. And I'm just like, who the fuck is this guy? That was like my introduction to Brian Ferry.
Mine was around the same time. I don't remember what song. It could very well have been this. This is another, quote unquote classic from the 80s that I'm only just seeing now, that I'd missed at the time. This and Top Gun, what's the commonality?
Well, I think I may have seen this once and just never went back to it, because look,
Why?
I think I was 25 into it or whatever, and I was just like, I remember none of this. What the fuck? And then I think I was remembering my criticism of the movie as a kid. Like, it would have been great if the demon was in it more. I think I remember those very words. Like, it needed more of that demon.
To quote one of my titles, needs more curry.
Exactly.
Oh, and I think they also influenced The Bachelor.
What?
Because in one scene, he gives her a rose. It was literally like a scene out of The Bachelor. He
It's
gives her the rose.
cliche, though, to give a single
Yeah,
rose.
it just I just got a kick out of it because The Bachelor practically stole the dialogue that he says there.
But yeah, my formula in 25 minutes, my formula to prove this film, more Tim Curry, less singing.
Yes. And Richard O'Brien in Tom Cruise's role would have been really fun to watch.
I can't picture Richard O'Brien in Tom Cruise's
Well,
role.
maybe not in that role. Maybe John Cusack in that role, to go back to somebody who would have been age appropriate at the time.
Richard O'Brien as Blix would have been fucking phenomenal.
Oh, God, yes.
Just the what have you done?
Oh, yeah.
Instead of like, what have you done? What the fuck? Like, what do you mean? I was got this girl I was trying to impress. Fuck you. So I think what I'm saying here is Jack needed to be
Yeah,
played
that's it.
by Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah.
I had a broad here I was fucking bringing to the see the unicorns. Oh.
Oh, one last little nitpick. During that final battle between Darkness and Jack, his horns were bouncing.
Yeah, I think the makeup costuming was a little sketchy in this.
As great as the makeup was at times, yeah, bouncing horns just don't make sense or work.
Better than Wrath of Khan.
Oh, yes.
Not so much at the Star Wars level, though.
Yeah.
I had
Clearly not
this.
Rick Baker.
Going over my notes, I saw one line I have. Because I fucking was. This is. You know what? I was thinking this today. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever stayed up all night to do, is watch this movie. I was up to
Wow.
like after 1 o'clock in the morning, and then I had to get up at like 6. But one of my note, going over my notes from last night, one of the lines I have is, I felt less embarrassed for Tom Cruise while watching the Scientology documentary.
Wow. God. Still have to
They
watch that
split
one of
up
these
into
days.
teams. It's better to go in teams? How stupid can they be?
All right, on to sequels and remakes.
Honestly, equals.
I actually would like to see a remake of this. Strip down, cut out, half of the fairy tales they're trying to reference. Give it to the guys who make Game of Thrones.
Oh. Well, that's the thing. We were so starved for a good Dungeons and Dragons movie back in the day that it was like, oh my God, like I taped this. Like I don't think I ever watched it after I taped it, but I still taped it and had it because it was like, well, it is a Dungeons and Dragons movie still. But the problem was it's a Disney-fied Dungeons and
I
Dragons.
think, and this is something I was thinking about while watching, I think the Lord of the Rings movies, the Peter Jackson movies, were a turning point for fantasy.
Oh, definitely.
Because I can't remember any legit good fantasy movies before them. There were plenty of good science fiction movies, Scott's own, two masterpieces being among them, but I can't remember any good fantasy before Lord of the Rings.
Well, I mean, Highlander, of course.
Highlander was still fairly cheesy. I mean, it was great for the time, but looking back, it was pretty damn cheesy.
But the problem with fantasy is they. Before Lord of the Rings, at least, and with the exception of Highlander, was that it's a very messy genre. And actually, you might want to even go back even before that, and it's not even fantasy, but just it was a more accurate portrayal of medieval fucking warfare would be Braveheart. But the thing was, everybody was squeamish about doing it because of so many, so much blood and guts. Now, granted, Highlander, I mean, they weren't afraid to chop off heads, but they had very little blood
Right.
to
And
go.
Lord of the Rings, I don't really remember a lot of blood, actually.
But they at least had a body count.
Well, yeah, there definitely was a body count.
And that is what a lot of people were afraid of to do a good fantasy film, you know? Just the blood and guts, the body count. And even Game of Thrones still gets so much shit for, like, not being sensitive to our modern day values. It's just like,
It's
that's
medieval
not the
fantasy.
point of this dude.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be brutal. He's the bad guy.
Yeah.
The fuck? I mean, what's wrong with you? But Lord of the Rings definitely showed that it could be done. But before that, we had to settle for shit like this.
This is on par with there's an 80s fantasy TV show I've been meaning to try to hunt down on YouTube. I want to say it was called Wizards and Warriors.
It's exactly what I thought you were going with. I think there was a Dungeons and Dragons primetime show, I think
Well,
maybe.
this was a primetime thing on CBS. It was
And yeah,
effectively
there
Dungeons and
was,
Dragons. I
you
think
know
it
what?
was called
I
Wizards
think
and
it was
Warriors.
Wizards and Warriors. You're right, you're
Yeah.
right. But then there was the Saturday morning cartoon Dungeons and
Right.
Dragons, which really they were just about the same. It was just when someone died, they disappeared if they died at all.
Remember how much we liked Beastmaster back in the day?
Yes.
Have you revisited it?
Did we do it here?
No, we didn't. We haven't done Beastmaster yet.
How have we not done
We've
Beastmaster?
overlooked it. I've revisited it. It's not good.
Well, of course not. I mean, but for its day, it was
Yeah.
probably fucking phenomenal.
So yeah, again, Lord of the Rings was really a turning point for good fantasy.
Yeah.
If you like Game of Thrones, thank Peter Jackson.
Of course. Of course he turned that around. They gave him a fucking Oscar for it. I still can't get over that.
Yeah.
It's batshit crazy,
How
but
many genre movies have gotten Best Picture?
yeah.
That's got to be a first, if not a
Yeah.
very short list. Anyway, like I said, I'd love to see a remake done by the Game of Thrones guys, or even Peter Jackson, or somebody who would take this seriously.
I say
Let it go.
let this go. They could do a traditional myth
Yeah.
story.
I mean, there's a ton of hero's journeys out there, which is what this would
Exactly.
be if you did it right.
They could do a real one, and not something so muddled like this.
And of course, if anybody can think of a way to do just the music version where you somehow cut out the dialogue, that would be amazing. I'd love to see it.
I mean, Jerry Goldsmith, his version, I mean, the soundtrack for that was decent, I think. I mean,
Just to enjoy the visuals and not saying the music was particularly great in either, but it's just a way to enjoy the visuals with a little background music, because it is a beautiful film
yeah.
visually. It's just the talking that creates the problem.
I was thinking of the Robin Williams movie from like almost 10 years after this, What Dreams May Come, where the visuals were very similar. Only thing I think that was amped up a lot more.
Well, they had CG by the time of What Dreams May Come. This was, well, they had CG in 85, but it was very
Yeah.
rudimentary. So this was all practical, which is another credit I have to give it.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they did with that one now that you mention it.
I
Yeah, they
think
probably did.
some of the visuals were definitely altered, and there were some camera tricks in What Dreams May Come. It was a little too slick
Yeah.
to be completely practical.
But that was what they were going for. They were going
Exactly.
for the painting,
Yeah, exactly. They were going
the living
for
painting.
surreal.
Yeah.
All right, on to Brains.
On Brains.
I didn't hate it. I didn't particularly like it. But I did enjoy Curry's performance during the fight scene, so I'm giving it an extra half for that. I'm going 3.
I limped to the end of this one. Tim Curry, who I was watching this for, was buried under the suit and the vocal distortion. Just settling for Disney D&D just is really more disappointing now than it was back then. I'm going a brain and a half.
All right. And what have we learned?
Well, I learned two things. I learned, stop it! Stop that singing! And I feel a magic stirring within me.
And now I learned that Tom Cruise really wants you to touch his unicorn. That joke's never going to get old.
No, it's not.
Alright, so until next time when we'll be reviewing Time of Eve, we're going back to the anime. It's been about half a year. And trust me, this is a big step up. Well, anything would be a step up almost from this, but it's legit really good.
You know what's sad about our review of this? And it just, it's more about the movie than us, I think.
Mm.
This movie had Billy Barty and Robert Picardo.
Where was Robert Picardo? Because I remember seeing him on IMDb, but I didn't catch him in the movie.
But they're just buried in the costumes.
Oh,
and the
that's why I didn't catch him.
Exactly. Okay. He was Meg Mucklebones.
Oh, he was Meg Mucklebones. I have no idea who Meg Mucklebones was.
I think he might have been the one that was in the pie.
Oh, okay.
The one that was in the armor, I think.
Right.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, the one they were kind of rescuing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And Billy Barty.
That would have been a complete waste of Richard O'Brien then.
Well, right. It was
a waste of Robert Picardo when he wasn't, as great, as well known as he is now.
Right. Just bad.
Anyway, until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course, the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, and YouTube. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. Also, if you enjoy the show, spread the word. Give us a little word of mouth. Of course, we appreciate all the listeners we have, but more would be better.
Share us on Facebook.
Facebook, Twitter, whatever social media you choose to use, spread the word. You can also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we were going to review. Again, I can't remember where we stopped with that. It's a couple months out.
Yeah, I think Horns.
Horns, yes. The Daniel Radcliffe movie. Interesting that we bring that up this week.
We could have had a horn trilogy.
You also
Plenty
find
of horns.
You also find the request form. If you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, please leave it on the request form. We'll get to it. And of course, the recommendations list.
This goes on the hell no list.
I thought this had a chance before I watched it.
I did too.
I heard very good things about it.
Like I said, I have not seen this in 30 years. So it's kind of like, it's Tim Curry. I mean, and then I was like, oh, it's Ridley Scott. Wow, this could be really good. And then it was just, oh my God, get me out of this.
You can also email us, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTL1, or for the alphanumerically challenged.
You can lose your horn.
Or you can touch Tom Cruise's unicorn. 414-368-9861. Of course, always remember that you will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee. And until next time, always remember, never forget. Wherever you go in life, there you are.
Forgive me. I meant no wrong.
This first unicorn has its now this first unicorn is basically kidnapped